punishment.
No, like the process of punishment.
Are you ready to rumble? Anyways, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today is the process of punishment, and just what it means in general. The word punishment, what it means in general, and kind of elaborate on it. I'm going to go ahead with the definition. What?
You said, I'm going to say the definition. To elaborate on the process, here's the definition.
Your mom's your dad's your mom. Here's the definition of why your dad's your mom and your mom's your dad. Anyways, punishment.
Yes.
Commonly is the imposition of an undesirable or unpleasant outcome upon a group or individual meted out by an authority.
Authority.
In context ranging from child discipline to criminal law as a response and deterrent to a particular action or behavior that is deemed undesirable or unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's interesting that there's so many people in this world nowadays that think punishment is like, oh my gosh, it's abuse. You can't beat your kids. Don't beat your kids, you can't punish your kids by, like, you know, spanking their behind. Like, no, that's a pretty good way to do it because they're not, you know. I just, like, there's so many people out there that think that it's wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. That type of punishment can be wrong if you take it too far.
Yeah, I think that you kind of jumped into the deep end of the kiddie pool here, but the thing about punishment is that there has to be an action that is the consequence, because something that I think a lot of people are glazing over in modern society. And I think that, just to reference the show, but Bluey talked about this, and they're probably the forefront of children's show right now, is that as much as you want to have your kid to be an independent person and make their independent decisions to be independent, kids aren't meant to be independent.
Right.
If you tell a kid you have the choice between taking a shower or staying and watching TV, they're going to stay and watch TV.
Right.
But you needed them to take a shower to get clean.
Right.
So with that being said, make sure you have punishments for your kids. And if you do let them and try to do those parenting books where you let their kid decide, most of the time those kids have been brought up in a house that has action and consequences beforehand.
Right.
And so if you take it straight from like baby to now, a child who will probably not listen to you.
True.
So, but if you start the child book when they're 13, that would work.
Yeah.
So there's progress.
Right.
But yeah. I'm not a parent. I should state that. I'm not good. No, and I'm not bad at parenting, but
Tim's mom made a point.
My mom.
Maybe a month or two ago or longer. I'm not sure at this point, but she was like, you shouldn't talk about marriage because you're not married.
Yeah. We should talk about child punishment.
I don't want you to feel like I'm saying like you can't have your own way of punishing your kids. Have a way though. like because if you don't have a way, they're gonna have their way and your life is gonna be a living hell. Let's just, you know.
I don't like that choice that you're making, but okay, Jimbo. It's like,
right,
what? Huh? What?
So you don't like the choice, but you're gonna let them do it. See, but anyways, punishment.
See, let's go beyond children.
Yeah.
Don't take that out of context. Don't take that out of context.
I didn't. But yeah, I think the word punishment scares people.
Yes, it does.
Because
we live in a society that teaches people how to get out of punishment. Not going like crazy far, but I'm going to start simple with like schools.
Yeah.
Like, don't smoke in class because you're going to get detention. Smoke in the bathroom and you'll be fine.
Right.
And it's like, there's a punishment for that. And I know that something in the Bible says that, like, the things that aren't seen from man, but you know are a sin, God sees the sin.
Right.
But there are, because I've been reading in Leviticus? Or was that in Exodus? Either one of them. If you did not know the law and committed a sin, and then realized that you committed a sin later on, you can be forgiven. But until you realize that the consequence was made, there is no sin.
Right.
Right. So,
well, and that, because that doesn't make sense. See, and that's also kind of not what you said makes sense. If it didn't work the way that you just said it worked, then it wouldn't make sense. Like, if it's it
really weird.
Yeah. I what I mean by that is, like, if we were punished for something that we didn't know, that doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works in the world that we live in. you break a law, you're going to jail.
I say there are.
Well, not exactly, but like, there's a punishment.
I didn't know murder was illegal. You're still going to jail. But people are more lenient if you don't know the law.
Right.
And so the punishment is more lenient if you don't know the law.
Right. But these are like minor, like, oh, I didn't know the speed limit was 65. I was going 80.
I've always gone 80 on this road. And I always love hearing police officers say that. It's like, oh, I've gone 30 years going 80 on this road right here. And he goes, it's been 50 for those 30 years.
Yeah.
It's been illegal. But
that's just for punishment. The word itself scares people because they don't know what's going to happen. And we like the sense of control. So not only that, but then like not having anything, like you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
After you've done what you did, there's a punishment that's involved or that will be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in order for you to learn, there has to be a punishment. You know, like if you're gonna go speeding down the highway, you're going 100 miles per hour. I'm not saying that if you're going 100 miles per hour, you should know that you're gonna get pulled over. But realistically, like, let's just say that, and you're going 100 miles per hour, you get pulled over. You're not gonna stop going 100 miles per hour until you get that speeding ticket.
Yeah,
it's just you won't. Why would you? Mm-hmm. So like, it's like that. And there's so many things in this world that are like that. Like, people will just continue to do whatever they want to do until they know that they're not allowed to do it anymore. Because they got caught or whatever have you.
Yeah, I love this thing that's currently happening at my work. And as far as punishment goes. So, we're held to a standard at my work, right? We have tolerances that we ship to the job. Just like if you have a hamburger. And you don't put a hamburger in the hamburger, guess what? You're going to be pretty mad that you don't have a hamburger. But we're held to tolerances. Now, we've been kind of slack at being held to tolerances, and now we have somebody to hold us accountable into those punishments. And so we have been removed from a job because of the punishment. That's the punishment that we received because we were slacking. And without a consequence, we just keep on doing it.
Right.
Forever and ever and ever and ever.
Right.
You know, and there nobody would know.
No.
Nobody would even say anything until we're held accountable.
Right.
And I think there are so many applicable things to say about this. But what I want to say first is that when you know that there's a punishment coming, the punishment is always less severe if you accept the punishment.
100%.
Because 100%. I was talking with our good friend AJ, who's been on here before, and that he messed up at some point, but he goes, you know, it's a lot less painful when you worry about the punishment and you worry about, oh my goodness, I'm going to get punished. And you just accept that you failed.
And it's true. It's true. I wasn't planning on sharing this early, but I will. It doesn't matter.
Do it whenever. You can hold it.
So... No, and I'm gonna wait.
Okay. Well, I'll continue on.
Yeah,
is please. That the more often or not that you scrapes? I'll get there, guys. Scrape there. Something under the rug.
Right.
The worse it will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never met anyone who's happy about hearing, oh yeah, I broke this 12 years ago.
Right.
I broke this 3 months ago.
Right.
And you're like, you never replaced it.
You never told me.
You never
told me. Why wouldn't you just tell me? Like,
yeah.
It would have been so much better. Like, I didn't know what happened to it, or like whatever it is. Like, you want to avoid punishment because human beings, we don't like being put into the fire.
Yeah.
And I think we already talked about that in several of our podcasts, changing and all of that. But like, now punishment, being put in the fire of a punishment, like, nobody wants to be punished. Mm-hmm. And it's a pride thing, really. Yeah. Like, you're like, I messed up. Now I'm going to get punished. And I don't know what it looks like, but I know for a fact that it's going to happen. And like you said, like, it's easier if you just accept it. Say, hey, like, I did this.
Yeah.
You know?
There is no man who is perfect.
No.
And I will always say I've never met one. But especially with punishment is the fact that we live in a society that doesn't want to be punished. And I understand that as much as anybody else. You know, if you're a cartel drug salesman, you don't want to get caught because you're making millions.
Right.
But then you say to yourself, on the other side of the rope here, is that you have potentially been murdering multiple people with drug overdoses. And you may be saying, that's not, you know, that's not my fault. That's not my job.
Yeah.
And what you don't realize is that to every action has a consequence.
Yep.
And I know punishment is just the severity of the consequence.
Right.
But even, you know, the small things in life change how the whole world is perceived.
Right.
You know, if I've been talking about it a lot with people I know, but excuse me, just simple Sunday school, you really see the immediate impact that you have with somebody.
Right.
And you don't realize how much it affects the future going on.
Right.
And if you don't accept your punishment, how much worse is it going to be? Not it's just true. For you, but for everyone else.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of just like, I don't know. when you're a soldier, you know, you do something, you mess up, your whole entire, like, squad or whatever platoon. You want to call them. Yeah. Everybody gets punished. Everybody has to run or whatever it is that your punishment is. Like, everybody has to get punished.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but now that's your fault. So, like, why would you want to tell your, like, general.
Yeah. Hey, I kicked over the bucket full of water that we're supposed to keep.
Right. Like, now we don't have any water. Okay. Well, now you're going to run and be thirsty. Like, yeah. But that's the thing though. Like, you have to suffer. And it's such a strong word. So people are like, whoa, suffer. Mm-hmm. No, not me. Like, I'm not doing that. If you make a mistake, you have to suffer in order to not want to do that again.
Yeah.
And that's what a punishment is. It is you suffering the consequence of what you did and learning that, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of actually caring.
Yeah.
And allowing your pride to not be too much get control of your ego, really.
I know you kind of dipped your foot in, but you know, that whole platoon gets punished. And you know why the whole platoon gets punished? Because when you're actually out there, your whole platoon will be punished.
Right.
Not, you know, sometimes in the middle of battle, it's the small things that get you the worst. And so if you can limit that bucket of water tipping over, that's another week's worth of water for you and your men on the field.
Right.
And you know what? A big mistake that happens in the field costs men lives and not just a simple 4-mile run.
Right.
And that's what they want to train in you.
Right.
You know, is that the mistake that you make doesn't just affect, you know, the small people in your life. It affects everybody.
Right.
And, you know, the longer you keep it in, the worse the effects will always be. I've always seen that too. You know, I'll take an example from my own life that I'm not very proud of, but, I've definitely cheated in school. I've definitely asked for forgiveness for that. But with that being said, at times I've always felt stupid because of it.
Yep.
And I know that, like,
I can relate. That's why I said, yep.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
I wanted everybody else to know, like, yep, Tim's an idiot. No, that's not what I'm saying.
But you don't realize that you feel like an idiot sometimes.
Yeah.
And that you feel dumber than everybody else. And the only thing that that gets you is less intelligence. And I've been working on myself in my own life just to get better, you know, because I know that, like, I can excel in math, but I cannot excel in spelling. And so, you know, probably the subject I cheat more in. And now that I've realized that I struggle to read, to comprehend reading. And I mean, so, you know, I had to fix it myself and I have to start reading books again, not because I really want to, but because I just feel so idiotic not being able to read. And you know what? Some people are like, dyslexia? And I'm like, possibly. I've never been tested, but it doesn't matter either way. I'm the one who has to pay for my consequence of not being able to read well, you know?
It's true.
I could have taken the time and done what I should have done, but yeah. Now I'm going to take the punishment.
Right.
You know, it hurts.
It does. It's, you know, I did that too. I cheated in school. And I can relate to a lot of that. But for you, it's only spelling. I did that in every subject because I didn't want to do school in general. I was like, listen, well, I have to do school, but I don't want to do school. I want to play video games, mm-hmm. or I want to do this or that.
Yep.
So I'm going to cheat and get it done. And then, you know, I'll do my school tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't cheat again. Uh-huh. Like, I'll do my school tomorrow. And then again, oh, well, I want to play video games, or like break the habit. Say,
it's hard.
It is hard. I'm not just saying like
it 100% doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't.
And you know, for me, probably the worst thing to see was like a B or like a C. And it's like, that doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
Like if I got, because I went to college and I tried really, really hard in college or trade school, and I did not attempt to cheat at anything terribly hard. Maybe I did once or twice. I'm going to say I probably did, but I tried to learn everything I could there because I said, this is actually for myself.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just for saying, oh, I can read. Yeah. I'm not an idiot. I can write. I'm not an idiot. But it was actually for me,
right.
For me to know things, for me to get better. And when you take that into consequence instead of, I just need to get an A because I need an A.
Right.
You know, because I hated getting 50% or not 50%. Getting 70% and being like, man, I'm an idiot. I felt so dumb and I felt so bad, but that's how you get better.
That's the thing though. Like for me, I do the same thing. I'm like, maybe not the same thing, honestly, because my brain is, well, if I get a 70, I pass. So that's good enough for me. It's only good enough for me because I never tried harder than that.
Exactly.
But back to punishment. With cheating on school and whatever it is, I mean, like, you can't stop yourself. You have to tell somebody else that you're doing it and say, listen, you know, I'm ready for whatever type of punishment or whatever you think about me. Because sometimes that is a punishment in itself. That, like, me personally, I'm a people pleaser. Like, so outside of me, like, I'm always trying to do stuff for other people. And, like, if I mess up, I'm like, what do they think about me? Yeah. But why does it matter? Yeah. I mean, but, like, it does. To me, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it always has. So, like, if I mess up, even if it's a minor thing, I'm like, what do they think about me?
Yeah.
And that in itself is a good enough punishment for you not to want to do it again. Or, and not just minor things that, like, yeah, it was a mistake. But, like, doing something on purpose and knowing that you can do something better or knowing that you shouldn't do it. Yeah, you deserve people to, like, say, like, yeah, you know, whatever they think, you deserve it. But that's not how God is. And we're really fortunate for that.
Yeah, I know.
Because if that's how God did think, then I probably would not be, I don't think that I would be able to go through every single day. knowing that God's like, yeah, well, he did this and he did that and he did this. Like, he doesn't do that.
Yeah. I think I have this one story that it's not my story, but it is someone I know. And I'm not going to say last name, but his first name is Jonathan. And he shared this with me when I was younger. And he talked about being addicted to pornography. Now, Jonathan had a wife and he was very happy in his marriage, but he could not kick the habit of watching pornography. And you know what? Pornography, a lot of people say, is one of those guiltless sins where there is no real punishment. And so Jonathan did that. Jonathan had a happy marriage and Jonathan had a child as well. But when the child was about 1 year old, he just couldn't stop watching pornography. And he could not stop and he could not get his life back in order. He was just at home watching pornography. And he was a leader in a church as well. And so he had this big, like, task on his shoulders that he's like, I cannot admit that I am this person that is addicted to pornography to somebody else. And eventually came to the point where he said, I had to tell because I couldn't stop. And just like the effect of that. And he said, I've been free for a while now, but even now I have addiction that I still deal with. And I still want to go back and watch the pornography. You know, I love my wife. I love my kid, but I'm still addicted. And it's still this thing that I'm dealing with. And it's one of those stories that I sat there and I went, wow, you know, because this was a man I really, really trusted. Like, it wasn't a guy that I said, he's definitely a guy who's, you know, missing out in a lot. And he's not really, really happy in what he's doing. But, you know, it tore him apart from his family. And it tore him apart from what he wanted to be. And so one of those victimless punishments that he says to himself, oh, it's okay. It's fine. But you know what? There was still a punishment that came.
Yeah.
And it hurt. It hurt him. It hurt his whole family. And it's not easy to admit, you know, especially to somebody that you think is the most important, one of the most important people in your life. You know, like, imagine walking up to your boss and going, hey, I messed up. Yeah. And you know, in the next 5 minutes, you could be fired.
Right.
Or walking up to someone you trust the most, maybe your pastor, maybe your father, maybe your mother, and saying, hey, I messed up. It hurts.
Yeah, it does.
But you know, it's going to fix the relationship.
On the truth.
Because if you accept that punishment, how much better? You know, being accountable one to another, brother to brother, is more important than being afraid of taking punishment. It's rough. It hurts.
Yeah. And to kind of go off what you're saying, but in the reverse.
In the reverse.
Life sentence, you know, a life sentence in prison because of
the worst, one of the worst punishments.
Yeah. You killing somebody or whatever you did, that's a life sentence, but it's not, you can have a life sentence outside of prison. Like, if you don't accept the punishment that you're going to be given, then you're very likely to have a corrupt mind and a corrupt heart.
Yeah.
Because you are like, well, that's good and all, and repenting is great, but I love my sin too much.
You know, that absolutely breaks my own heart to hear that. Breaks my heart.
Yeah. I've been there.
I've been there too.
It's
But my statement still says it stays the same. I'd rather be in my sin than accept the forgiveness that's already been paid.
Right.
There's not a lot of things that make me, like, teary-eyed. That sentence is one of them. Yeah, like, really. Like, man, that's a sentence. I'm gone. Like, go ahead. I need a minute.
Yeah, I think that's just, it's true, though. There's people that are like that are in love with their sin so much that they just are like, no, I mean, I'm sorry, but this is what I want to do. And there's a pain in their heart, which that's the part that gets me because I was there. There's a pain in their heart that they feel, but they're like, well, I mean, I love my sin too much. And they're not willing to get closer to God because they love their sin too much. And I always heard that as a kid, like, well, you know, there's people that are really out there. They do a lot of things and don't be like them. As you grow up, there's one of those things that those people that you were told they're out there, you do it.
Yeah.
And you have to be the one that decides, I don't love my sin more than Jesus. And, you know, if you don't, then that's on you. And the thing is, for me, I'm not going to love you any less. I just want you to understand that there is a punishment if you don't change. So think about it.
So
that's all I'm saying.
Like for my thought process is like, there's somebody who loves you and has the best possible thing in the entire universe, you know, this limitless thing that you can receive, you know, because just the thing is like, there is a YouTube group that I watched for probably about 7-8 years. So a long time for YouTube. And they stopped posting and they said, we're not going to post anymore. And, you know, to me, that was something that was going to be around for the next, you know, 20, 30 years, but it just stopped. And the thing that I can never fathom is that God doesn't have that same limitation, you know, because I think about all the things in the world, I'm like, man, I love this thing. It's one of the best things in the entire world. And every time I have it, I love it. But, you know, it's never limitless. You know, there's never something that I go, this one thing I know I can find anywhere I need to go. You know, anytime I'm in trouble, anytime I need to go somewhere except for God. And then I hear the sentence, I'd rather be in my sin than be with God. And it just blows my mind. Blows my mind to think that somebody would rather love the things of this world than love God. You know, I'm with people all the time, multiple times a day, that just go, I don't want God. And in my mind, I don't know what their life story is for a lot of these guys. And I don't know, like, where would you be, you know, but like, I just can't imagine a world without it.
I can't either.
Because I remember, I don't remember if I've shared this before, but I remember having a dream about a similarity to what hell is. And, you know, I woke up the next day and there was pain, there was torture, there was blackness, there was darkness. It was absolutely awful. But the number one thing that I remember the most from my dreams is the presence that was there in the dream. And this place without God is so desolate.
It's true.
It's so empty. And, you know, we live in a fortunate place where we know what it was before. And we know what we don't really know what it's like without. But, you know, a punishment can separate us from God. That sin, God's punishment, he draws away from us. And that's right. The punishment.
Right.
And it's incredible to think that, like, people would want that actively. Actively accepting a punishment instead of taking the forgiveness.
And like you said, with some sins, you can't see the punishment. But you can feel it. Like I said, there's people that feel it in their heart. And that's a punishment in itself. Because it's a weight that you don't have to carry. But you choose to because you love your sin too much.
And I think even with what I was talking about is like, there's pleasure in the punishment, or pleasure in, I shouldn't say pleasure in the punishment, but there's pleasure in the thought of I'm doing something I shouldn't. There's pleasure in that thought. Because I know a lot of people who, you know, will cheat on a relationship. They will get a divorce. They'll marry the person that they were cheating on and then go and cheat it with another person. They weren't in love with the other person. They were in love with getting away with cheating. And it's a weird thought to have, but I've seen it and it's mesmerizing to me that people would rather love.
I'm not going
to
share that.
People would rather love the thought of cheating with somebody than actually the person that they're with. Because it's so exciting for them, like, oh, I'm getting away with something more than I love this person. That astounds me.
But I'm going to wrap things up.
So you want to end on that story there?
With the story that I was going to tell you earlier. So everybody knows that listens to our podcast that I am a part of the Montoursville Fire Hall.
You are?
I am.
Dude, it's like on your head.
I know. I know.
He's wearing a hat with it on there.
And
he didn't get a tattoo of his forehead on for Fire Company.
No. I might get a tattoo, but not on my forehead.
Just right there. Just
Montoursville Fire Hall.
Like where a hat would be.
Station 20.
You're going to go to like Montour, Virginia, and they're going to be like, you're not part of our fire company.
Not a part of our fire company. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Anyway, so me and the other live-in got in trouble the other day.
You want to explain what a live-in is?
Yeah. So I live at the fire hall. Yeah. And we have very small requirements. Clean the bathroom, clean the kitchen, and basically anywhere else that you are in, clean it. But then go above and beyond and not just do that, but you're there for a reason. You know, you're volunteering at a fire company. Do something. Whether that's washing somebody else's gear when they get back from a fire or like whatever it is. Like, that's not my responsibility. Okay. Okay.
Go on.
Well, what's your point? I'm sorry. You're volunteering. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. Like, yeah, lay your life down for people. But my point is, we got in trouble because we weren't cleaning the bathrooms. And we were slacking on nights that we were on call. I have excuses that I could give, but I'm not going to, because excuses are excuses and they smell bad.
Wow, I didn't know vocal things had smell. Do you smell the color blue?
No, but I'm just saying, like,
no, I'm just talking about.
Yeah,
it is absolutely awful. But go on, I interrupted.
Yeah, so, we both sat down with the secretary of the fire hall, and he's like, so I'm going to go at this right away, and I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. You guys are being jackasses. Like, you're doing nothing. You're not, like, giving anything to the fire hall. You're living at a fire hall for free. You are in our rooms, in our fire hall, doing nothing. Why are you here? And he didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
Like, he that's what I heard, and so that's why I'm trying to get my butt in gear. But that's not what he said. That's what I heard. But so it's just like, I let not only myself down because I was, like, slacking and all of those things. And like I said before, I could come up with 1,000 excuses as to why.
Yeah.
But I let myself down. But I also let my captains down. And so, like, this is fresh for me. So it's just, it's still there. Yeah. And I'm a weird person. I get emotional over things that are like, it's whatever, you know, just move on. It's like, I like I said before, I'm a people person. I'm a people pleaser. So I like to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing. I was slacking. And we got punished for that. And we got a strike. You get 3 strikes. If you get 3 strikes, you're out. But it was just like, think about other people. Because whatever you're doing is not going to just affect you, but it's going to have an effect on other people. And whether that's right now or in the future, like you said, with Jonathan. You know, it's those things. Yeah, they might seem small now, but they're not. Anything that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, stop.
Yeah.
And I'm, and I don't, it's don't hard. Make me like, don't, I'm not Jesus. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, well, see, listen, I can do this and like be perfectly fine. No, listen, I'm still having trouble cleaning the freaking bathroom. Like, I don't want to do that. But the problem is I have to, it's not a problem. The thing is I have to, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to do things that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Like there's 20 men at least that use that bathroom. It's not pretty in there. It's like, it's just not. I mean, and it's like, but it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Lay your life down for other people and don't allow yourself to just mess up because, well, I mean, it's whatever. Like, and then when you do mess up, fess up.
Yeah, yeah.
And take the punishment. You know, yeah, it sucks, but you did it.
Yeah.
So now it's time to pay and then move on, move forward and be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, that's what you have to do. That's it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's hard. We've already said that,
yeah.
But you know, that's it.
Well, I'm going to take and just continue on because I see it actively in my daily life. What happens if you don't? So I have two coworkers, right? They don't really like each other. They don't hate each other, but they don't really like each other, okay? So if they have to do something for that coworker, they just stand there and watch them do it. So like, say that there are tie down pieces, right? There's something to hold something down, right? All right, so one guy puts it in and tells the other guy to tie it down. Now, the nice thing to do, which is the thing I do, is to help him tie it down. What the other guy does, because he doesn't like the other guy. So guy one and guy two. Guy one doesn't like guy two, and guy two doesn't like guy one. You know why? They don't help each other. Because guy one says, I'm not going to help him. He didn't help me. And guy two says, I'm not going to help him. He didn't help me. You know what I do? Help them both. And as dumb as that sounds, and as dumb as that is, I have a better relationship with each and every person in my coworker shop than anybody else. Now, I'm not going to say they're best. I'm not the best guy there. I'm not Moses here or something. But what I am saying is if I need help, they'll help me.
Right.
And if they need help, I'll help them.
Right.
And it's that same thing where it's like, you know what? My punishment for not helping this guy is he doesn't help me.
Right.
And it's a weird thing to say. Because it seems so simple, be kind to your brother. But it's those little vendettas that are like, hey, snap out of it.
Right.
It doesn't matter that, you know, he doesn't like your quiche or something. You have a responsibility.
Right.
So be responsible and take it.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, it's just... And that's the thing. It's the smaller things that are the hardest things to do.
Yeah. You do them every day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, it's like that bathroom where you're like, man, 20 men go in there every single day. And it smells awful. It feels awful. It's warm every time I go in there. But
it's not warm and cozy, just so we're on the same page.
It's just like
it's just warm and smelly.
You ever okay, this is like you ever been in gym class?
Yeah.
With no AC?
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Right.
You know, that's what it's like in there. It's just tighter and you can just feel radiating body heat that shouldn't right. be there because there's no one else in there with you.
Right.
But it's your responsibility.
Yeah, it is. You know? It is.
And as hard as it is to be like, X person should have done this and X person should have done Y and Y should have done Z or whatever. You have your responsibility. And this is what I tell a lot of coworkers as well. You have your responsibility to get your job done. It doesn't matter what the other guy did. It doesn't even matter what the guy did before that. Because whatever you need to do, you have to do.
Right.
So if you have to fix this other guy's mistake, you have to fix the other guy's mistake.
Right.
You can either sit there and complain for 20 minutes that this guy needs to fix his own mistake and then fix it yourself because he's not coming down because he has his own job. Or you can fix it right away and say, let's keep this thing moving. And it's not easy to do the second one.
No.
Because you want us to do the first one.
Right.
You want to force him to come down and fix the mistake that he had made. And as easy as that is, you have your own responsibility.
Right.
You have your own punishment. Even though they have their own punishment that they need to receive, you have your own punishment to fix the mistake. It's not easy.
It's not
never easy.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's, I think just to kind of wrap things up,
if you have a wrapping,
it's just thinking outside of yourself and realizing that if you mess up, it can have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And it can affect a lot more than just you. And it's like, why would you want to do that? You know, there's just things that are like, if you know that it's going to affect someone else, and there's mistakes that I've made, where I know that it's going to affect people that I did it to for a lifetime. And
it doesn't come back. It doesn't come back easy.
You know, I was just selfish and very immature.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of just end it that, you know, there's a punishment, but then that's why God died on the cross.
Yeah.
To save you from your sins. So yeah.
Yeah. Really good analogy. To kind of take it full circle here, when you're a child, right, your parents tell you that don't do X, don't do Y, don't do Z. And when you're a kid, you go, exactly. That's what you sound like as a kid. And you don't do it. But the reason why your parents have you do X, Y, and Z is not for you, but for the next person that's with you. Because if you do those things with them, they'll hate it. And they'll hate every single bit of it. And you will either A, have to work out of it, or B, never work out of it and lose that person.
Right.
So even those things that you say to yourself, this is a very, very small, insignificant thing. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Think about that. Think about the person that you're affecting and what they're going to receive because of your little thing. And it's not easy to say. It's not easy to go, well, I messed up. I got to go fix it. But you know what? It really does help. It really, really does help.
It does. It does.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. You have something to say?
I don't think I do either.
Close? Not close. Pause. Not pause.
Continue.
Take a little continue.
Take a little continue. Take a little continue.
Dude, that's a t-shirt right there. Never ceasing podcast. Take a little continue. Write it down. Write it down.
All right. I got you. Anyway. Yeah. I'll do our take a little continue.
Take a little continue.
Never ceasing podcast. Take a little continue. Yeah. Thank you for forgiving me for the punishments the mistakes that I have made. God, thank you for creating a punishment to make me learn. God, I pray that you help other people that are making mistakes every single day to grow out of that and to choose to be better and to do better. Not for just them, but for the people behind them. God, I pray that you help us in every way that we need you to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know what? We'll see you in 5 seconds when you hit that shuffle and just listen to another one.
Never ceasing podcast.
No, we never stop.
We're going to continue.
Have we ever stopped since we started? So let's keep on going.
Oh, yeah.
What did I just say?
Let's take a little continue.
Let's take a little
never ceasing podcast. Let's take a little continue.
I got to use that more.